The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The victory horns are sounding for one Amanda Lemos, who said, you know what? You want to make me a massive underdog? I'll show you. And she showed Marina Rodriguez, and all the conversations about whether or not Marina Rodriguez could earn a title shot after UFC Vegas 64. All of that noise, all of that talk has shifted over to the Amanda Lemos side. Will she be sitting cage side for the UFC 281 co-main event next Saturday at Madison Square Garden after a third round ferocious TKO win over Marina Rodriguez. Big, huge win for Amanda Lemos to cap off a pretty fun UFC Vegas 64 card. Thank you for joining us for our live post-fight show. I am Mike Heck, being joined by the man. It's no longer his birthday, officially, but in our heart of hearts, it is his birthday, Mr. Alexander K. Lee. Hello, AK.
My best friend, every day is my birthday when I get to spend it with you, producer Casey, the MMA Fighting Crew, the people watching, the people who will be listening to this later in podcast form, everyone who watched UFC Vegas night. I can't ask for more. I can't ask for more. It's so wonderful.
That's great. We have Casey on the ones and twos. So let me start you off with a question, AK. One that I've seen a lot on Twitter since the fight ended. Did you have an issue with the stoppage?
Nah.
Did you think the stoppage was too early?
No, not at all. Not at all. There's the turn away. The turn away was the big one. I know a lot of people want to see fighters get a chance to recover. And yes, you can always bring up, you can always find cases where it's like, oh, I've seen worse. I've seen fighters in other situations be given chances to come back. And that's true. It happens. But in this case, the turn away is a very strong sign for, this is Jason Herzog to the main event, right?
Yes.
I think a very strong sign for Herzog to kind of go, okay, that's not intelligent defense. He's also in there hearing the shots and see kind of probably having a better feel for how those shots, you know, outside of getting hit with them himself, you're right next to it. You can kind of tell how hard they're hitting. He has a better feel for it than any of the judges and emphasize anyone except for Amanda and Marina themselves. So he's seeing firsthand what damage these are doing on the broadcast. I mean, these sound like bombs. Right. I mean, just those of us watching at home were like, holy crap. Like she was really, really cracking. And these are clean shots. She's not just throwing like wild haymakers and some of their are like bouncing off the arms and some of their like, oh, well, they're not, you know, are they really doing damage? Is Marina slipping some of these? She was really, really taking it to her. So no issue with the stops at all. Anytime there's a standing stoppage in the UFC, that's like relatively quick, you know, not where it's not like one fighter taking like punches against the cage for like 10 like consecutive seconds, people are going to say, oh, could they have let it go longer? But I saw everything I need to see. I mean, there was just so much gas behind those punches. And Marina looked really hurt. I know she kind of protested right away, but she looked really hurt. And I definitely have no problem with it. I'd be surprised if there was too much of an uproar.
Did you ever see, I mean, this is a massive movie. You saw The Departed, right, AK?
Which one?
The Departed.
Of course.
The Departed?
The Departed, okay. Yeah.
You know the scene where Leonardo DiCaprio like smashes the cranberry juice over that guy's head, and then Mr. Uh-huh. French comes over and is like, you know who that is? That's Jackie's nephew. And he goes, oh man. And they just punches him three times. The first two looks like he's okay. And then the third one just knocks him unconscious. I feel like Jason Herzog was like looking into the future and just flashing back at that movie, because I think one more shot and one more punch like that, Marina's unconscious. So I think Jason kind of just looked into the future and just stopped. I didn't have an issue with it, but that was like a big thing on Twitter. It was like, was this a little too early? Should Marina have gotten more of an opportunity? But I have no issue with the stoppage. But man, Amanda Lemos is like, all this talk about Marina getting a title shot, what about me? What about Amanda Lemos? And she came out there. The first round was a round. They did things for 5 minutes. Second round, things turned up a little bit. Lemos started to get some momentum. And then third round, she's like, I'm getting her out of here. I need to go home. So what did you think, man? I mean, not a lot of people were giving her much of a chance to win. They felt like if it was going to get stopped early, it was going to be because of Lemos. But not a lot of people giving her a chance to actually go out there and do the damn thing. And she did it. What'd you think?
Mike, stop me if you've heard this one before. I could not have been more wrong about this main event. I think I feel like we could do a super cut of me saying I could not have been more wrong about this main event. I'm getting deja vu. I feel like I say this all the time, not just in predicting the winner. Listen, these are 50-50 things. You know, someone wins, someone loses. We all get them wrong sometimes. You know, we all just pick the wrong fighter. I didn't just pick it wrong. My breakdown of the essence of this fight was so far off. My Rodriguez pick had a lot to do with, I just feel like I've been more impressed how she's done against, you know, top competition. She's gone five rounds before. And I think I said on the preview show and in my predictions, so it's in writing and on video, I've embarrassed myself on multiple levels. I think I said like that Lemos, I don't believe she's part of that upper echelon of fighters. I don't think she's in that Rodriguez, Zhang Weili, Rose Namajunas, Carlos Barza, Jessica Andrade tier. And clearly, I was, again, could not have been more wrong. This is an excellent, excellent performance. I didn't mind the first round. They knew they had five rounds to work with. It is a feeling out process. Marina, with a lot of respect for Lemos' power. Now we know why. Lemos, again, having not gone five rounds before, probably doesn't want to come out as a berserker, and probably knows maybe she can drop around and, you know, it won't be the end of the world for her. She's in there to finish anyway. You know what I mean? Lemos is not in there to win decisions. She's in there to finish. So giving up a round means nothing to her. And that was clearly the case, as we saw in the end, as she just turns it on. She found the lasers. She turns it on. I tweeted that her finishing instincts are incredible. You know, so much of the videos that were hyping up the fight were about like, yeah, there just aren't finishers like her at strawweight. And it's not just power. It's not just athleticism. It's knowing when to go for it. And she had almost finished the fight in round two with that rear naked choke, and the way she went for it, there was no hesitation. There was no like, oh, you know, I got to set up to get in this position first, or should I go for ground and pound instead? She immediately went to go take the back and had a very, very uncomfortable looking choke on. It's a testament to Marina Rodriguez's toughness, her submission defense, that she did not get choked out. Because that sequence by Lemos would have finished a lot of the women at 115 pounds. So her finishing instincts are really spectacular. And she has the profile. I mean, she has the highlight reel and the profile of a contender for sure. She will be in the top five, I believe, in our rankings. She entered this as number 9 in the MMA Fighting Global Rankings. Marina Rodriguez, number 5. Lemos should take her spot, barring anything strange happening. And man, you really feel like she actually is one win away from getting that title shot, whether it's against Carlos Barza or Zhang Weili, or if Rose Namajunas gets back in there. But Lemos fighting for a title in 2023 suddenly seems very, very realistic.
So if Carla wins next Saturday, Is Lemos next? If Marina was next, is Lemos next?
Yeah.
I think she kind of has to be. And you know what? I'm going to raise. You know, I called it originally, but now I'm going to raise. It's a little cheap, but I'm going to re-raise here. I think if Zhang Wei Li wins, I mean, who does not want to see Zhang Wei Li fight Amanda freaking Lemos after what we just saw in this fight? I feel like Lemos, I feel like she made such a leap tonight that she could get the winner no matter what happens next Saturday. I feel like Rose is probably still in play. If Zhang wins and she calls for Rose and Rose wants to stay at 115, I feel like she's the front runner. But the way I saw the fight playing out to what actually happened, I felt like if Rodriguez won, she needed Carla to win and that was it. Lemos, I think she has a case either way. What are your thoughts on kind of the title implication? I know we'll do more matchmaking on Otno tomorrow, but like, put yourself in the UFC shoes right now. What are they thinking?
I don't know if she has the name power, one. I don't know how much the Jessica Andrade loss still kind of lingers in their minds. It is. I mean, she has two fights removed now, but it wasn't that long ago. It was earlier this year. It was pretty definitive. It was her first main event opportunity. So I do think maybe in the eyes of the matchmakers, do they see her as like, you know, is that just something like, okay, well, this was impressive. Yes, she took out a top five challenger. But this other top five, top three challenger, Jessica Andrade, made short work of her with her own incredible standing finish. So I don't know if this quite makes like an indelible statement with the matchmakers. Mike, I have thrown up a poll. I do kind of want to get a feel for the people and exactly what you asked. Should Amanda Lemos get a title shot of her UFC Vegas 64 win? Right now, 54% yes. Obviously, a poll like this, there's a lot of recency bias, so would not surprise me if it is positive for Lemos by the time it wraps up. But the fact that we're even talking about it, like you said, didn't seem like that would be the case 2 days ago. And now suddenly, I think we're all like a little excited. I don't know. I don't like to speak for everyone, but I think we're all a little excited at the possibility of her getting a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, her and Carl is interesting, and then her and Zhang just throwing bricks at each other just seems like a ton of fun. It really does.
You'd be favored.
So great.
Carla Esparza, right? She'd be favored. I don't know if Carla Esparza is ever going to be favored. Like, if she gets past Zhang Weili, I don't know if she's ever going to be favored against anyone.
I don't know if I agree with, if she beats Zhang Weili and like does it convincingly, she'll be favored against Amanda Lemos, I think. I mean, she's like a plus 280 dog right now. She goes out there and just convincingly beat Zhang Weili. Yeah, I think she's probably the favorite, but we'll see. I'm down for either of those fights. What a difference a day makes. Great job, Amanda Lemos, but you got to feel for Marina Rodriguez. Most people felt she had earned a title shot already. She takes this very risky fight against Amanda Lemos, and she loses, man. This is just a tough sport. It's just such a tough sport, is it not? Watching Marina work so hard to get to where she's at. Everyone's just clamoring for her to get a title fight, hoping for meritocracy to prevail. It doesn't. And now her road to a title fight just got extra long, AK, didn't it?
Even the way the fight was unfolding, we were kind of like, man, if she wins the fight this way, because the first round was close. I don't think it was necessarily a clear Rodriguez round, but we'll see if the scorecards popped up, actually. I don't know if the scorecards have popped up yet. I am curious how that first round was scored. Okay, I don't see it yet. Even if she had won that first round, if that's just how it had gone, and definitely did not win the second round, if that's the way it had gone for, you know, the next, let's say she recovered in round three and just, you know, turned into sort of a Marina Rodriguez fight, you know, methodical, you know, enjoyable to watch, but not, you know, not necessarily thrilling. She has not put on a thrilling performance. It was sort of the narrative going in, something we talked about a lot on the preview show. Excuse me, like, what is your most memorable Marina Rodriguez like in cage moment? And it's just, there's nothing really springs to mind. And it looked like, excuse me, everyone, and it looked like we were going to be headed to kind of having that same discussion after the show. I had a feeling like she might win a decision, and then we'd be saying the same thing, right? We'd just be like, okay, great. She won. I don't know what she could have said in her post-fight promo she had won, but again, she hasn't been like a fiery quote person before. It would surprise me if she made some outlandish sort of call to push herself to the front of the line. So yeah, you definitely had to feel for her. And she was already like, even though she was number five in our rankings, and I think number four in the UFC rankings, I'm not sure. Even taking that into account, it just never felt like there was that push. Other, you know, giving her this main event fight, great. She's had a couple other main events, but it almost feels like she wasn't even supposed to be the main event for this card. This was Bryce Mitchell and Evloev, so she was like almost a main eventer by default. I don't know what she can change, because what she does is good. She wins a lot of fights. She didn't win this fight. That's fine. Amanda Lemos is really good. So to tell her to change her style just seems like crazy, because it's worked for her pretty well so far, but it's also, it only takes you so far. So I don't know. I don't know what she can do. We didn't know what she could do going into this fight. Now coming up with this loss, I'm completely at a loss to try and figure out a career plan for her.
Scorecards have been released. Two of the judges, Derek Cleary and Junichiro Kamijo, both had it the way most of us had it, 19-19. Gave him Marina the first round, Lemos the second, Sal D'Amato 2018 for Amanda Lemos. So there you go. Those are the cards. Yeah. So we're at splitty city territory heading into round three, but Amanda Lemos is like, nope, not going that route. So tremendous performance. She gets it done. I'm sure she'll get a bonus. And once those bonuses come out, we'll let you know what they are. Well, I have a feeling you want to guess? I don't know if we're going to get a fight of the night here. We might. I don't know. There are a lot of finishes on this card.
Magny, I feel like Magny and Rodriguez were heading towards it. That was a really fun fight to watch. I thought that was heading towards a fight of the night, but probably just, I think Magny, you have to give it to him. Quality of competition. It was a good, great, it was a great looking finish. Broke the record. It's almost like, oh, here's the 50 Gs for breaking the tie with GSP for the most wins by a welterweight. I know we'll talk about that more later, I'm sure. A hell of an achievement. Sounds crazy to say. Then I would go to Gear for threatening to look like he was trying to actually kill Nate Maness with that guillotine choke. Grant Dawson would get one, except he missed weight.
Viana and Vidal.
Yeah,
they should both definitely get him.
Just do the multiple bonuses. Give out five bonuses, please. everyone who didn't miss weight and got a finish, 50 G's these people up, please. Please. But yeah, I mean, if I had to choose, I'd go Viana, but it seems wrong to Rob Vidal. That was awesome.
A flying knee to the body. I you don't see those every day. That was a different kind of one. Even though her entrance took 47 minutes and the fight took three, it was a hell of a finish. So
the NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's talk about Neil Magny real quick, because The man is a wily veteran, AK. He might be, I know we use the word gatekeeper a lot. Some people use it as like a negative. I don't think we use it as a negative here. Just, it's more of, we use it more as a litmus test. Like, I think Neil Magny is the ultimate litmus test. He might be the best gatekeeper slash litmus test in the entire sport right now. He wins the first round. D-Rod wins the second round. It looks like he has all the momentum. Third round starts. D-Rod cracks him, gets him on the mat. Looks like he's about to cruise to a win. And Neil Magny just gets all sorts of angry, gets on top. And then when D-Rod tries to get back up to his feet, just slaps just the nastiest choke on him. And D-Rod has to tap. First time D-Rod has been finished in his career. Neil Magny just doing the damn thing, AK. And then he called out Gilbert Burns. A performance, maybe even an A+ after everything that that he went through in the first 10 minutes of that fight. Neil Magny, I'll never doubt you again, my man.
A performance, a call out. That's a great call out if you can get that fight. This is a guy who I know a lot of people, we've said gatekeeper, super high level gatekeeper. I think that's how fans view him as well. They might not consider him as someone who they just don't. It's us too. I say in the media, I don't say just the fans. It's us too who don't talk about him as a title contender. It's like we've taken him for granted. And while Mike, I do not approve of the mixing of the martial arts, hashtag keep the martial arts apart. This man mixes the martial arts so well. He's been doing it for so long. Again, now 20-8 in the UFC, as we said, broke the record with GSP. They were tied with 19 wins. Even having 28 UFC fights is insane, much less winning 20 of them and fighting a lot of good opponents. We've called him a spoiler. We said gatekeeper. We call him a spoiler as well. We've said he fights bigger name people sometimes and kind of spoils that, their chances of getting a title shot or getting back to a title shot or thinking that they're going to take his ranking. It's a great achievement. And I hope people, when they look back on guys like him and Jim Miller, another lifer who again has not competed for UFC title shot. I hope that designation does not like detract from their greatness. I hope when people talk about the great welterweights of all time that they mention Neil Magny. I hope they mentioned Jim Miller among the great lightweights of all time. I don't care if you're like, oh, top 10, top 15, top 20, whatever. However you want to rank them, it doesn't matter. The longevity should be appreciated in this business. Longevity and it's not like they're just hanging around. They're still winning fights. Entertaining fights too. Neil Magny has a really good resume. He's a guy who I don't know. I don't know if he's racked up like Fight of the Night awards, but he always puts in a good performance. Win or lose, he's always putting in a solid performance. Or you have to put in a really great performance to beat him, like with Shavkat, his last fight with Shavkat. You're always going to see something professional and high quality when Neil Magny is in the cage. And that's honestly not something you can say about everybody in the UFC roster these days. It's a big bloated roster. We know this. We know a lot of veterans keep getting pushed out for, let's just say it, cheaper contender series options. So for a guy like Neil Magny to stick around and again to continue to have success is so admirable, and I hope and still be aiming high, not saying oh, I'll just fight whoever the UFC gives me, to continue to say I want the Gilbert Burns of the world, I want the top five opponents of the world. I think it's so fun to watch. So great for him. I thought it was a really good fight. I thought Daniel Rodriguez looked good in the fight, but again, just all the credit to Neil Magny for figuring him out, defusing him, and like Mike said, getting a finish of a guy who just does not get stopped normally. So I feel good after watching that fight, Mike.
Neil Magny did not get a fight of the night. He did get a performance bonus, though. We have our bonuses. Neil Magny, Mario Bautista, Tamiris Vidal, and Pollyanna Viana. Four bonuses.
That's fair.
There you go.
That's fair. I think producer Casey will agree with me on this. I would have gone with Ulanbekov over Manis because it was great to see Benito Lopez back. Benito Lopez has not fought since July 2019. And he kind of looked like a guy who had not fought since July 2019, especially against Mario Bautista, who's in the deep bantamweight division. It's probably someone in their top 20, top 25. He's looked amazing in like his last couple of fights. Like he looks like a guy who's going to be ranked at some point if he gets the right opponent. I remember when I saw that on paper, I'm like, first the Obi-Wan, the Benito Lopez, there's a name I've not heard in some time. And then when I saw them matched up, I'm like, this seems strange. This is a tough comeback fight for this guy. And you know, hey, credit to him for stepping in there and taking this fight, but he was outclassed and it's understandable. Again, has not fought since July 2019. That's a big layoff. And in the bantamweight division, one of the fastest moving, most rapidly improving divisions, like month, week to week, month to month. I just don't know how you can take that kind of time off and expect to be competitive. So I would have gone with Ulanbekov for the bonus instead, but good for Mario Bautista. Awesome finish. You don't see a lot of triangle arm bars. I think, I want to say Michael Carroll said that that was the ninth, only the ninth triangle arm bar finish in UFC history. Don't quote me on that, people, but there are, it is rare. It is rare.
But to play devil's advocate, didn't Nate Maness look like a guy who cut a billion pounds?
That was the he put out that picture, right? That picture came from his Instagram, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The picture had everyone talking. It was like an Instagram story, right? Why would he put that out? Did he not look at that picture and go like, "This looks bad. I should not show this to people."
And he looked like not great at the scale. This is a guy who's fought at lightweight a bunch of times, featherweight a bunch of times, and a few at bantamweight. And then he drops to fight at 125. He looked rough. I know there was another picture he posted of like him weighing like 176 pounds, which he obviously commented like, "Dude, I'm joking. I didn't put on 54 pounds from my weigh-in yesterday." But yeah, he did post a little picture. He might have taken it down, but that was pretty funny. But they should just stay at 135, I think.
Why did he decide to go down? Do we know?
I have just no idea. I mean, he was he beat Johnny Munoz Jr. at featherweight. Uh-huh. But I mean, they're both bantamweights. He beat Luke Sanders. He beat Tony Gray. He's 3-0. With two finishes, and then he fought Umar and got Umar'd. And then he drops to 25 and he has to fight Tagir Ulanbekov. Like, that's just a rough run, man. I'd be like, "Oh, that's the fight you're giving me? Nah, I'll stay at 135. I'll just stay at 135.
Those are my options at flyweight. Like, it's a strange, and again, I don't know Nate Maness. I don't know if, like I said, maybe he just feels he's a natural 125, or maybe he didn't feel great competing in higher weight classes despite the results. Maybe he's winning fights, but he's kind of like, I'm glad I'm winning fights, but I really feel like my championship, you know, ceiling is at 125. But the results have not been promising. Again, even disregarding the weight cut, I just don't know if at this stage of his career he's as good as guys like Umar and Tagir Ulanbekov. These guys are just great fighters. He could have had the greatest weight cut in the world. It might not have mattered. So I don't know. We'll see what he does next. I do think he gets another shot. Maybe he sticks around to flyweight and they don't give him one of these just, you know, A++++ wrestlers. But it's a tough division because, again, we always say it's not very deep, but you have a lot of great flyweights in there. It does not get much easier.
Coming in March or April, Nate Maness against Muhammad Mukhaev. Get ready, because that's probably where they're going with this. Poor guy. Just taking on all these incredible wrestlers. Good win for Shailin Nurdenbiaka. I mean, I don't know how to feel about that.
Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to talk about this, Mike?
I mean, we could talk about it because obviously people are talking about it, but I will pull up the tweet. Let me pull up the tweet right now.
Are you Ben Davis? Ben Davis?
No, that's a good one too.
Okay,
I'm pulling up the Aaron Bronsetter tweet. All right, so 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
Aaron Bronsetter tweets out some crazy line movement in the Nurdenbiaka versus Derek Minner fight over the last 90 minutes. Average odds have moved from -237 to -362 for Shailin. And then, of course, the fight starts. Derek throws one kick to the body, and he just starts hobbling around. You could tell he's hurt. Like, he's done. He's injured, and Shailin does what he's supposed to do, and he goes out there and hits him a bunch of times, knocks him down, then elbows him into just an oblivion. It was just bad. He just kept elbowing him over and over and over again until the referee stopped it. And there's a lot of talk about the new rule that UFC fighters and coaches and teammates and all that stuff, like anyone associated with UFC, can no longer bet on UFC fights. And some people thought it was very strange. But if you really look deeply, this is one of the reasons why this rule is a thing, because you might have some people just be like, "You know what? I train with this guy. he was hobbling around before he got on the plane. Like, maybe we juice this lineup a little bit and don't tell anybody. But a lot of speculation out there, AK. What did you make of all of this?
Mike, as you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a sharp. Is that what they call the odds making? The people who are good at betting. I'm not a sharp. I'm no Jed Mershu. I'm no Connor Burks. I'm not an expert on these things. But there you go. There's a tweet from Mr. Aaron Braunstetter. Yeah, a little fishy. A little fishy. I was not aware of the line movement beforehand. Someone was, like I said, I did want to read out a tweet from Ben the Bane Davis, who said, with this line movement, this is at 8:01 p.m. So this is when the main card was an hour into the main card?
Yeah.
Okay, so it would have been just before, so maybe just about before this fight happened. Ben the Bane Davis, he tweets, with this line movement, I'm expecting Minner to come out with a broken limb or something. It got a lot of retweets after, a lot of quote tweets after. Because as you said, it's certainly possible. Listen, like I said, we're not Dr. Joe Rogan over here. You know, we can't make these calls when we see someone get hurt in the broadcast and say, oh, that clearly happened in the fight. Whatever, he hurt his toe, hurt his leg, hurt his knee, something. It's hard to say watching. But given the line movement, given how quickly he got hurt, and how quickly the fight ended. When he was down, man, when he was down, like, he knew he was hurt. There was no, you know, there was no like, okay, well, I'm going to try and fight out of this. He immediately went, I think wisely, into sort of just get my arm up, turtle mode. I'm not fighting back. Hopefully the referee's going to step in here and save me. It took referee Mark Smith a while to get in there. But sure enough, he did. And you know, those people, whoever bet their money on Shailan Nerd and BK, were very, very, very happy. And probably, if again, what we're saying has any truth to it, probably not all that surprised by the outcome. So we are not formally accusing anyone of any sort of impropriety. We are just commenting on the story as it is unfolded before us. Again, a lot of line movement before in the Shailan Nerd and BK direction. And the outcome reflected that with eerie accuracy. So people, draw your own conclusions. Again, we don't know. We don't have the inside dirt on this or anything. This is strictly, all of this is speculation. But I could see a lot of people watching, maybe not in love with how all of that unfolded.
Yeah. So, I mean, literally at 10:06 this morning, Derek Minner was a plus 180 underdog, and he closed on most at like right around plus 300. So that thing got jacked up. I mean, that's a lot of points. I mean, that's a lot of points. It's weird. It's a little weird.
People wake up on a Saturday. They start doing a little light research of the car. They see Sherilyn Nern and BK, 38-10 record. They're like, you know what? I'm going to put some money on him. Not knowing anything about what's going on with Derek Minner, strictly their faith in Sherilyn Nern and BK. That's certainly possible, right, Mike?
Maybe just a bunch of bored gamblers like took a beating on horse racing or something. You're like, you know what? I'm going to take this dart and I'm going to chuck it at a fight, and everybody landed on Shailin.
Could be.
That's what happens. It's a coincidence. It's a giant coincidence.
We don't make accusations around here.
We don't. It's all speculative. We won't dive any deeper, but it does seem a little strange. We mentioned Tagir Ulyanbekov. Before I go to the peeps, I do want to talk about Grant Dawson because...
Do it.
Look, he missed weight. Short notice fight against an undefeated guy. We've been talking for a couple weeks about how Mark Mattson just took a giant step up in competition going from Jakar Close to Grant Dawson. And this is no disrespect to Jakar Close. That fight would have been cool too. There's a lot of heat on that one with the fight ready versus Jakar Close thing going down. But Grant Dawson is really, really good. There's a reason that the MMA Fighting Global Rankings, the only rankings in the sport that matter, the best rankings in all of MMA, had Grant Dawson already ranked tied for number 15. And he showed it. I mean, he got clipped real quick in this fight. And then for 12 minutes straight, he just wrecked Mark Mattson. Mark had no answer for this guy. Grant just wrestled him, took his back, just controlled him over and over again. And then Mark just had to tap 205 into the third round. Grant Dawson climbs to 19-1. This guy's a problem, AK. I hope he gets his weight under control. Again, we understand that it's short notice, but we've heard Grant Dawson say a lot in his UFC career, I promise the UFC I'll never miss weight again. Ends up missing again. maybe a little bit of a pass there taking this on short notice, but this dude, if he can get this weight under control and make it all the time, AK, this guy's going to be a big, big problem for this division.
His grappling is just on another level. Like if you want to know, you know, why we always say there's a difference between, you know, amateur wrestling and MMA wrestling, and in this case, Olympic wrestling, people I'm sure know by now, Marco Madsen, 2016 Rio de Janeiro silver medalist, Greco-Roman wrestling. It's brought up in the broadcast all the time. It's brought up anytime anyone brings up Marco Madsen, and rightfully so. He's a great wrestler. But when it comes to that MMA style of grappling, Grant Dawson is just, you know, so, so proficient at it. He's got great athleticism, great size. He looks insanely strong. I don't know if he's as strong as Scott in 155. Again, you look at our champion. We have Islam Makhachev. We have so many great wrestlers in 155. But Grant Dawson has to be up there just as far as like raw strength. Once he gets his hooks on you, it just looks like you are not going anywhere. And again, we're talking about an Olympic level wrestler and no slouch in the strength and athleticism department himself in Marco Madsen that he controlled. So it wasn't just a size thing, because Marco Madsen is certainly a strong fellow. So that was super, super, super impressive. People know I take weigh-ins very seriously. I'm certainly, it is an affront to my sensibilities when I see someone miss weight. However, I did somewhat give Grant Dawson I kind of let him off the hook because of the short notice. I actually thought I was a little raw that he was kind of had to go 30% and everyone else only did 20% when he kind of helped Mark. He saved Mark Madsen having to fight on another card, right? Again, no excuses. It's Grant Dawson who was in the wrong here. He missed the weight. But I'm glad he tackled that. A lot of people don't tackle this directly in their post-fight speech. So he had a very good post-fight speech. He said, like you said, Mike, he'll never miss again. We'll see. It's easy to say it and do it. But at least you say it. He himself said, yeah, my win's a little bit tarnished. I do feel like there's like a stain on it because I missed. He wasn't overt with like the bravado. And the call out, Mike, you and I both said on social media, we're not fans. He called out Tony Ferguson. We don't love it. But for his brand, you nor I, and we'll talk about it more on our matchmaking show on Sunday, I don't think either of us is going to deny that like that would be a good win on his resume, even where he and Tony Ferguson are in their respective careers, right?
Yeah, I mean, the promo is great. Mm-hmm. For a guy in his position, the call out was fantastic. Like it's a great call out. Like you need that name. Like I think people are starting to get on board now. Like they're really starting to get on board. And you beat Tony Ferguson, you're like, damn, like he beat a guy that we all know. And I get it. But from a personal perspective, for fights I want to see, I have no interest in that fight because Grant Dawson's a minus 400 favorite in that fight. It's crazy to say against a guy like Tony Ferguson, but he's a minus 400 favorite in that fight. What you saw against Mark Madsen, it's worse against Tony Ferguson. Because this is a monster of a guy. I remember watching this guy fight. I think the first time I watched him fight was in 2015. And then I kind of like got off the sports radar a little bit and then started covering it and interviewed Grant a couple times when he was on the regional scene. Two fights of his that I watched in 2016, he basically did that, what he did to Mark Madsen. But instead of like just taking your back and controlling you with the body triangle, he just mounted you and beat the shit out of you. Like, that's what this guy did. I was like, oh my God, this guy's such a problem. He ended up losing his next fight because he was going through a lot of personal stuff, which I've talked to him about. But then since that, just the next fight did the exact same thing. He just gets on you and mounts you and beats the hell out of you. That's what this guy was when I first got on the, like when I first saw him fight. And now he's got the back control. He's working with Steve Mako. He's working with all those guys at ATT. He's working with Matush Gamrot on a daily basis. He's working with those freaking guys. This dude is an animal, and he's going to be a problem. I'm curious to see what his next matchup is going to be. I have an idea. I think I have a really good idea for onto the next one. I think most people will love it. You'll be like, ooh, this is pretty good. Some people might hate it. But it's not Tony Ferguson, I can tell you that. I have no interest in watching that fight. Again, I understand why he made the call out. and it's a good one, and the promo was excellent, but I have no interest in watching that fight because I think Grant just washes Tony and makes it look easy. And I want to see Tony Ferguson fight Joe Lozon, like Jim Miller. Like, these are the guys I want to see Tony Ferguson fight, not Grant Dawson, not Jalen Turner, not those guys. I want to see just fun vet fights for Tony Ferguson. Like, Tony and Nate was perfect. Things like that, I'm cool with. Grant Dawson, no, I don't want to see that.
No, I agree. Like I said, I am, if I'm in Grant Dawson, he did everything right. But yeah, like I said, we'll talk about more on to the next one. It's not something I personally want to see. I don't need this sport has a tendency to make us sad, and I feel like that fight would just bring us down.
I would agree with that. So Miranda Maverick, dominant win over Shanna Young, 30-26s across the board. Mario Bautista, this dude's getting better and better. Pauliano Viana, vicious knockout. We talked about that. Johnny Munoz.
That was scary. Yeah,
Johnny Munoz, good win. Jake Hadley, nice win over Carlos Candelario. He's just whooping on these New England guys. Already beat Mitch Raposo, stopped him, and then goes out and becomes the first man to stop Carlos Candelario. Jake Hadley's the New England crusher right now. And then we talked about Tamiris Vidal and her vicious flying knee to the body to stop Ramona Pasquale. So fun card. Listen,
not
this
bad.
Is not, like I said, this is on, even on paper, I said, this is not, we have seen worse fight night cards on paper. This is better than last week's card on paper, much better in delivery. And now I think we have a little bit of momentum heading into MSG next week, which I'm very excited for. So the other thing I'm excited for is to hear from the wonderful viewers, the wonderful people watching the show right now. What are the peeps saying? And plus, we'll bring in Casey. I don't know if he's wearing a red shirt like he did earlier.
No.
Nah.
I change.
Back in black.
Wearing my WBC shirt. Yeah. Boxing.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Very nice. Very nice.
By the way, 56. I'll end the poll now. 56% should Amanda Lemos get a title shot? Yes. So not like overwhelming. Not overwhelming, but pretty good considering that beforehand, again, all the talk was around Marina, not around Amanda Lemos. Good. It's true. Listen, I see Casey making a face. Producer Casey, you know we have very educated, intelligent fans. So they are not wowed by a knockout. They don't go, oh, well, that knockout, this person's the best. Oh, this is the best of Phil Baroni. You know, this is the best ever. Our fans don't do that. Our fans are such subtle and nuanced human beings. And so they're not just quickly jumping the Amanda Lemos bandwagon. So 56%, I think, is a fine number and a good reflection of how people are feeling about her title chances.
She has earned a title shot. She ain't gonna get it because this is prize fighting, and she's just not gonna move the needle enough. Unless maybe they do one of those like Shanghai cards for Wei Li wins. When did Wei Li beat Andrade? Was it Beijing? It was in Beijing. Yeah, maybe
that was so strange because it happened overnight, and like so many people didn't even know it happened. I remember that. I was like, yeah, that's so crazy.
It was one of the strangest title transfers.
People woke up. People woke up. We're like, what?
Oh, okay. It was like 45 seconds. Yeah. But it won't be on a pay-per-view. Maybe. I don't know. UFC's weird. Who knows? The more I kind of keep talking myself out of it. But Angela Hill,
You should feel vindicated right now, Casey, because you've been on the Amanda Lemos train most.
I have been.
You were on her real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I picked Rodriguez in this fight, but I was not at all shocked that Lemos won. I mean, y'all must have forgot, but like Lemos, she got caught by Andrade, but she wasn't, like, getting whooped up in that fight or anything. She just kind of made a stupid mistake, and Andrade just crazy strong. And I really, honestly, I thought it was the Lemos-Angela Hill fight because I thought Angela Hill won that fight. And while I think Angela Hill was great, I don't think Angela Hill is quite a top five fighter yet. And just not a top five fighter at the time. And so the fact that Lemos didn't kind of demolish Angela Hill, I was kind of on the fence about her. But Marina Rodriguez is legit, and Amanda Lemos looked awesome, and didn't like the stoppage, but I completely understand it though. So that's all. See what y'all got. Right.
We'll take a few.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, we got BKFC brawls going on post fight. Fight Circus is probably starting soon. I mean, what do we got? I mean, AK, I love you from Lee.
Thank you, Lee.
From one Lee to another.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is an interesting question.
If an injury happens during a fight, do you get some kind of med cover from the UFC as opposed to a training injury? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but 100%. I don't know the details. I think a manager would have to say this, but like, do they get the same type of coverage if it's a training injury? I know there's training coverage, but I don't think it's.
I'm pretty sure if you've signed on for a fight, I imagine that's how they treat it, right? If you're within the window of when you signed on for a fight up until the fight happens, I guess they would consider you on UFC time.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just he's insinuating that Minner took the fight injured, but he would only get covered. If he actually let the bell ring, throws a kick, does something, and
Oh no, I'm pretty sure if it was in the lead up, he would get taken care of. But I understand now I understand the question.
Yeah,
he
wouldn't get a check though for his actual purse. So
Hey, listen, it's not as if we have a high profile case of this happening recently at a major pay per view. You know, someone you know knowing they had an injury and going, because who would do that? What kind of person would do that?
Hey, Minner thought he could beat the guy on one leg. He's like,
yeah, he saw the matchup. He's like listen, I know on one leg I can beat this guy. So if everything goes fine, I would have won the fight.
Oh, good God. Neil showed up, went through adversity. Him versus Durinho in 2 months would be a banger. Yeah, those two guys get a lot of respect for each other, so
now,
I don't hate it.
AK, so you said Neil Magny is an all-time welterweight great. Is that what you said?
That could mean anything from go on. Go on with the question. Yeah.
But Neil Magny's the gatekeeper, right? Because sure. is anyone expecting him to beat Gilbert Burns?
I wouldn't pick him, but I don't think I picked. Oh, I did pick him to win this fight, but there's many fights that I picked against him that he's won.
All right. Yeah, I'm telling you, what is Neil Magny? I guess he loses guys above him, he beats guys behind him, pretty much. That's kind of what gatekeepers are.
Listen, it's a bigger discussion. But I've always said belts are props. Title championship wins matter, of course. Listen, I'm a fan of George St. Pierre. I say George St. Pierre is the greatest fighter of all time, and so much of his reputation is built on his performances in championship fights. So for me to kind of discount how important championship fights are would be ridiculous. But I will say for guys like Magny, guys like Benil Dariush, Marina Rodriguez, tonight. Like people who clearly have done enough to earn a title. Like it sucks that we just look at them like, oh well, Jim Miller. Oh well, they never earned a title shot. Mm. And it's like, well, those title shots are determined by the UFC. They're determined by marketing. They're determined by. You could certainly make very strong cases that the timing was never right for a Jim Miller title shot. The timing was never right for a Neil Magny title shot. Like I'm not even calling out the UFC and going like, oh, how could you not have given one of these people a title shot? Like there was. I'd have to think of it.
His kind of number one contender fights.
Yeah,
I don't think Magny. Couple times, I think. Magny hasn't even he's obviously had a great career, but he's never even hit that number one contender or even a fight for the number one contender fight. As far as I recall, was there any fight if he would have won? Oh, he would have got the title shot next.
No, the closest thing he probably got to like getting. And I don't even know if he still would have gotten a number one contender fight, but at least he would have been like a win away from possibly getting one, was probably the Chiesa main event. Sure. Got that fight. Chiesa was a top inside the top 10 at the time. Yeah. And Chiesa just kind of wrestled the hell out of him, beat him.
He got handled. Yeah. Yeah. And those are the kind of things. Yeah. Those are the kind of things people remember. But like.
And the Shafqat,
for guys,
but it was just completely one-sided. Yeah,
sure. But for guys like him, like to have been around that long, and again to continue to pick up wins against tough guys, a top 20 guy, Dan Rodriguez. I just don't want people to downplay these accomplishments because they never fought for a UFC title.
Oh no,
the way title fights are handed out is shout outs by the way to the Soul Reclop in the comments, Casey. I'm sorry to do your job for you. I didn't mean to do that. They just said, hi from Tijuana. First live comment. You guys are awesome. Thanks for your work. Love the post-fight show. So shout out to Tijuana. I just want to say.
Tijuana. Thank
you.
How you doing?
Yeah, thank you.
When I was in Tijuana recently, someone recognized me.
Stop it.
Yeah.
They were like, he's the 3024.
Yeah.
He's the fighter. He's the undefeated fighter.
I'm dead serious. I was like, what?
you're 24 down there in Tijuana.
I'm big in TJ. I'm big in TJ, yeah.
Where were you? How did this?
I was actually a little south of TJ. I was in Ensenada. But yeah, I was down there in someone.
But like just in a bar or on the street or?
I was in at a big kind of party at a little fancy hotel on the beach.
Whoa.
And there was another party that going on, and then we were waiting for the cars to be pulled up, and someone goes, hey. Yeah.
Damn.
I know you. So the baddest stash in the media.
They'll know you more after you beat up Mike Jackson at the Satama Super Arena. Then you're really going to get some play.
Oh, here we go. I didn't want that comment up there. We're not talking about that yet.
There you go.
Hi from Tijuana. There you go. Thank you.
Greetings to everyone. Yeah.
All right, guys. Give me some questions about. I'm getting all these questions about other cards. People, we're talking about the card tonight, people. Come on.
We'll be talking about 281 for a week. Don't worry about it.
People, this is your chance to shine. Yeah. This is your chance to shine. Something. I know this wasn't a ratings blockbuster card probably, but you're here. We're talking about it. And again, not a bad card. I gave it, I think I said a 7.9 gymnastics, pre-fight gymnastics rating. And I think it came pretty close. It's like a 7.8, 7.7. Yeah. Other than the regrettable Nerdin VK Minner fight.
Yeah.
Everything else was pretty good. Maybe if a random Maverick had finished Shanna Young or something. By the way, we should follow up on that. Very disappointing. We did not get bald as a baby, Shanna Young, sadly.
She looked different. She looked the same. It was very disappointing.
She looked the same, right? I was like, anyone who wants to know, Amy Kaplan tweeted out a photo of Shanna before she cut her hair to make the weight, and she has a lot of hair.
Yeah, she's got a lot of hair, yeah.
Rest in peace, Elias Theodoro. Like that, I'm talking that long. She has like long, lustrous, like Elias Theodoro type hair. So when she snipped off, like I guess a large chunk of it, she still had a lot left. So I would not have known that she cut her hair to make weight. It was very disappointing. I thought she would be completely bald and that she would knock out Miranda Maverick in 30 seconds. But that narrative was killed immediately when she came out and had fully road hair, cornrowed hair. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no commitment, so. No commitment.
No commitment to the gimmick.
Yeah, jeez.
Ooh.
We didn't answer the Jake Hadley question.
Oh, okay. Go for
we'll
it.
We'll get both these, yeah. What was it, Mike? I missed
Jake Hadley. What's next for Jake Hadley? Look good. I don't know if... Yeah. He won't be my wild card probably tomorrow.
Probably not for me either. I have to look at my rankings.
He's a heavy favorite. Ranking. Yeah, you're a heavy favorite. You look good. I mean,
Tyson Nam.
Yeah.
Now that Tetsuro Taira is booked,
he's a guy you got to throw him on a London card at some point, right?
Yeah.
He's one of those
Jake
guys,
Hadley,
right?
Jake Hadley, Tyson Nam. Jake Hadley, Tyson Nam, UK.
Perfect. Yeah, with the next time they go to London,
right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Say? Yeah. That's the right range.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got.
Yeah, he did look good. It's exactly what he needed to do. He went out there and dominated and finished a very tough guy. A guy that Tetsuro Taira couldn't finish.
Casey, someone said AK thought that Shanna Young was going to go like Sigourney Weaver in Aliens 3. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was hoping for. I wanted Penal Colony Ripley, but did not get it. So.
Pollyanna. I can't find the question anymore. I lost it.
Yeah. Pollyanna Vienna. I mean, she had a ton of buzz when she did, I'm getting it right. This is the burglary, right? The beating up the burglar, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a lot of viral potential there. I think the results didn't quite follow. I don't know if she lost her next fight after that or, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I just don't remember there being a great follow-up for it, but she's fun. She's exciting. She's a fight finisher. You know, we talk about Amanda Lamoche, having sort of that standout finishing ability at 115. I mean, Viana's right up there. She's never gone. She's never won by decision. She just finished. She's lost decisions. She's lost plenty of decisions. But she goes out there and finishes. And that knockout combination, I mean, that is really not something that you see. She blasted. And Jin Yu Fry is really, really tough to finish. I don't know if this was her first knockout loss. I think it was.
Right?
No.
Hamasaki finished her a long time ago. Sure. Oh, Sohee Ham. Yeah. I think at 15. At strawweight, rather.
Sure.
That's fine.
I mean, if you're getting finished by Hamasaki and Ham, that's nothing to be ashamed of. And also Viana, I would add to that list. So Jin Yu Fry, a very tough woman, but boy, she got rocked tonight. Really did not know where she was. That's great for the highlight reel. What's her ceiling as a contender, as a star? Hard to say. 115 is pretty tough. It's a pretty tough division. Just trying to see where I have her now. She's kind of in the middle of the pack for me, somewhere in the top 20. But this gets her a big fight, I think, right?
A big gets fight?
Extra 50K.
Get her on the first. You got to get her on 283.
No,
get her on 283.
No. I mean, unfortunately for her, she's beating bottom of the division, which is, you know, sure. They're still good fighters, but she hasn't beaten anyone. She hasn't beaten a contender. Jin Yu Fry, I think her best years are in the past as an atomweight. I think kind of she's more just kind of living the UFC dream, to be honest. I don't think really anyone sees title aspirations for Jin Yu Fry, especially after tonight.
Because she was coming off a loss in her last fight. So,
yeah.
You know what? You know what?
I don't know, like Elise Reid is fun, like something like that. Sure. Doing in Brazil. She should be on that 280, that 283 card against whoever.
You know what, Scott McCrae, the guy who asked the question, our friend Scott McCrae, I think she'll be my wild card. I don't want to make any promises. I think I will make her my wild card pick. So tune in to On to the Next One this week if you want a more definitive answer of what's next for Miss.
This question's about the rankings that don't matter, but we'll answer it anyway.
Will Miranda Maverick have a number next to her name on Tuesday?
It could be asking about our rankings.
Did we release them Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. She probably
won't on our rankings. No, she won't, because Molly McCann is fighting Erin Blanchfield. They're not going to bump her before that fight.
Yeah.
I don't think she replaces Cynthia. Yeah, I think the rankings kind of stay where they're at.
They would have to bump Cynthia out. That was the and which would be... No, which would, I mean, be justifiable.
And move Molly to move Molly to 14 and bring Miranda in 15.
Yeah, I never fight. Yeah.
I would pick Miranda over both of those women. but by resume, Maverick probably doesn't move too far up the rankings just because of Young's lack of ranking. I don't know. Yeah. But man, she did the thing though. We saw a little bit of Muay Thai Maverick. And it was okay.
We just saw a little Muay Thai Maverick.
And she figured out, nah, this is okay. Let's get to the bread and butter now. And she was like, so much better. Yeah.
She committed to the Top Gun entrance. I think she came out to the Lady Gaga Top Gun song, right? Oh, no, she didn't. I'm sorry. I'm crazy. She got to Danger Zone, right?
No, not Danger Zone. The
just sort of the opening,
yeah, Top opening Gun theme song. Music. I don't know. Yeah. Sing it for me. I don't know. You know
It's hard. I can't. Hey, listen, we've got monetization issues going on. You know I can't do that. Nice try. Try to bait me.
Yeah.
Try to bait me. Listen,
Eddie Murphy's publishing companies already came after us.
No, that wasn't good. It was after your happy birthday fest on Friday. We got in a lot of trouble. You played way too many versions of Happy Birthday. They could allow maybe two or three versions. When you started going like the fourth version of Happy Birthday.
Once you got to the dogs, boom, instant flag.
I don't think Miranda Maverick will be in our rankings either. She has been ranked before, I believe, in our rankings. She has been a Favre also, but I don't. This one might get back her back into receiving votes territory, but I don't know if she. I don't think she's going to have a spot in our rankings either.
I've seen a lot of people ask this though. Is Rose going to get a direct title shot? Like, are people thinking Rose is going to get a title shot right after the loss to Carla? Do people think?
If Carla wins, that gives Lemos a shot. like a better chance, I think, just like it would have given Marina a better chance. Because I just don't think the UFC's going to be in any rush to book Esparza, Nama Yunus 3 anytime soon after 2. Mm-hmm. If Zhang wins, Zhang might just call for Rose and be like, hey, you beat me twice. Or, hey, you knocked me out the first time. I think I beat you the second time. Mm-hmm. Let's do it again. One more time. I'm going to show you I'm a better fighter. The UFC would do that in a second. I think they'd probably do that over Lemos. But again, we don't know what Rose is doing. We don't know how long she's going to be sitting out for. She doesn't seem like she's in any rush to come back to fight, at least not right now. And she also teased potentially just putting on a bunch of muscle and maybe going up to 25 and testing that out. So we'll see. I don't know. But I feel Lemos versus Rose is cool. I'd watch the hell out of that. I also want to see Andrade versus Rose again.
Yeah.
Because they're 1-1. That'd be fun as hell. You could do that at 125 as well. I mean, I would love to see it. I don't think it happens, though, unless it's for the belt.
Like I said, Rose just has too many options. Yeah. You list a lot of better options, and Rose knows those options are there. So, I mean, this fight could happen someday, but is it the fight to make next? I don't think that's where they're going to go.
But I think Lemos needs a win over someone like Rose, though, to kind of get the kind of fans behind her for a title shot. I think if they gave her a title shot now, I think it'd be one of those, it makes sense, but no one's really excited about it. You know, it's kind of...
It'd be almost like Kyla Santos. Some more finishes.
She earned it, but the fans are like, all right, sure. Cool.
Lemos probably fights Carla either way.
Win or lose.
Like if Carla wins, she gets the title fight against Carla. And if Carla loses, she fights Carla anyways.
I could actually see that because if Carla does win, I don't, unless she somehow wins spectacularly, but I don't see that happening if she does win. Carla, unfortunately, just isn't a main event type championship fighter. She'll probably be like a co-main event on a pay-per-view. And then as a co-main, Esparza versus Lemos makes sense as kind of that second title fight. I don't understand what you're saying. That actually does make sense. You're right.
Anything else? Or are we good?
I think we're good.
That dance usually tells me we're probably good.
Yeah, I think it's time to watch some fight circus.
Or Casey has to go to the washroom. I'm not sure. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Fight circus. I mean, when people will listen to this, I'm sorry. Fight circus will probably already have happened and probably been shut down. We don't know. But yes, for everyone watching live, Fight Circus is free on Fight TV. It is free. It is not on soda. What was it?
Camp soda.
Yeah. It's not on Camp Soda. You do not have to give anyone your credit card. You do not have to make sure your blockers are on or you're on incognito mode. It's on Fight TV for free. So please tune. I will do some see the media. We do promote things sometimes.
Yeah.
Fight Circus on Fight TV.
Jeez, Josh Thompson really got you, huh?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, well, we are done. AK, I'll see you tomorrow. On to the next one. We'll put a bow on this bad boy, and then it's on to MSG, baby. On to UFC 281. Some exciting things in store for you all week long on MMAfighting.com. Perhaps we'll watch the fights together on Saturday. Maybe, maybe not. Announcement coming. For Casey, for AK, I am Mike Eck. Thank you for watching. Enjoy Fight Circus, everybody. Good night.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.